So here's some things that they suggest you can give up.
Okay.
Drunkenness.
Huh?
No.
I can't give that up.
Gossip. What?
What?
Pornography. Mm-mm.
I'm sorry, but I can't. What else is on there? Air? Is the air the next one on there?
Complaining.
Oh,
it's almost
sorry.
Like...
Welcome to Hey, You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey, You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey, You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Oh, laissez-les bon temps rouler, people. Happy Mardi Gras.
What? Wait a minute. You're like, what do we say for Mardi Gras? Oh, I've got it.
Yeah, let the good times roll.
Let the good
in
times
French
roll.
With somewhat of a New Orleans accent. Laissez-les bon temps rouler.
Very nice. Very nice.
So we're going to be celebrating today Mardi Gras and also...
President's Day. Yeah.
And it's a trifecta, apparently, for the hotel industry because it's Valentine's Day, President's Day, and Mardi Gras all around the same time.
Oh, right,
yeah,
right,
so you
right.
can't get a room anywhere.
Right. Forget it. This was your one chance, people.
Yes.
And if you blew it, you blew it.
And I saw some places that are like, we're offering a President's Day / Valentine's Day special. I'm like, what?
How do you
could
do that?
Be? Like, for the love of Obama.
Like, you get citizenship.
Yeah.
And
the roses.
The love of your life.
One panty rose. And the federal budget is what you get. Okay, so Katie's going to kick off with the, she's going to let the good times roll.
I sure am.
What do you have?
Well, I have here a couple of things you may not know about Mardi Gras. I don't know, we haven't really talked about it.
Not that much. I mean, we covered the cruise, which is K-R-E-W-E, which are the parades that
right.
go on. We've talked about the trinkets a little bit.
Yeah.
And just giving you some general Mardi Gras, but not really.
So Mardi Gras and Carnival are the same thing, basically.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mardi Gras is really the Louisiana, the French Quarter, and Carnival's in Rio.
Okay.
It's more Brazil.
Is it at the same time?
It's at the same time.
Okay.
And you it says whatever name you prefer to use.
It's okay.
It's fine.
No one's going to care.
No one's going to
care. As long as you throw beads.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to matter.
Right. So basically, it should start January 6th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No wonder we don't have
it's
up
period,
here. It's cold.
Yeah, it's the period between the Epiphany and Fat Tuesday.
Okay. And, well, that's right. I forgot Christianity.
Yeah, right.
So walk me through this. Lent?
Lent?
Is the day after.
Lent is the day after.
Okay.
So it's like Mardi Gras and then Fat Tuesday, which is the night before Lent starts.
Okay.
So Fat Tuesday means...
We don't say fat anymore. I think we say big boned. We say proportionate.
Grown and sexy.
Yeah, grown and sexy.
So grown and sexy Tuesday.
Okay.
So what you're supposed to do, that's the night you're really supposed to party before Lent starts. And that's
okay.
40 days of just misery.
Okay. And then during which time you're supposed to give up something.
Something. Yeah. But it's called, you know, Fat Tuesday, or they call it Pancake Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. That's what we celebrate where I'm from is Pancake Tuesday.
Right, because you're supposed to get rid of all the sugar and butter and flour in your house because you're not supposed to be eating that stuff during Lent.
We would have the
so pancakes
celebration, but the next day also pancakes. And if there were some pancakes left after that, some batter, still more pancakes. Completely lost the significance of that one.
Right, right. So that's
kids.
What you're supposed to get rid of all the yummy stuff
okay.
and just eat it all up. And as a kid, you're like, woo, pancakes for dinner?
Yeah,
this
gorge
this,
yourself.
How can this be?
Yeah.
Pinch me.
It's religious.
Yeah.
So don't enjoy it too much.
Right, right. But that's it. You know, so as a kid, it's like, okay, we didn't even know about the parties. We didn't even know about the Mardi Gras. We just knew you had pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Hurry up and eat all your candy, because then you got Lent coming up for 40 days.
I knew about the pancakes part, and I had Catholic friends who were like, I'm giving up chocolate. And I was like, go ahead. Be myself. Enjoy. I don't know why, but enjoy.
Yeah. Supposed to do
that. I think my mom once was like, said something about Lent and then was going to give up something, but I don't know if she followed through. And you know, as a kid, you can't really check on adults anyway.
Oh, real? Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, so they'd be like, oh, I think you're supposed to give up like lying. I'm like, I've already broken that one by saying that I'm going to do it. So it's over.
So Mardi Gras running around New Orleans with the parades and the partying and all that stuff. Every so often it gets canceled.
Really?
And it's like,
Because of the weather?
No, the cancellations came during the Civil War, World War.
Oh, okay. World War, like every once in a while? You mean during a major conflict, during land wars?
World War One, World War II. And then in the 1870s, when there was a big yellow fever outbreak, mm-hmm. it was like, stay at home.
Yeah.
Nobody wants your yellow fever.
We're giving up yellow fever for 40 days.
Keep it all, keep your shirt down.
Yeah, keep it in. I wonder how early that started. I can't imagine people, you know, just after the Civil War being like, you know what, I'm going to be the first person to show tits. Screw it. Like, the beads hadn't even been thrown yet. Right. Probably someone shows some tits and someone like threw a bead at it. And they were like, it's born.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Let's put your bustle back on.
There was a scaled-down version in 2006 right after Hurricane Katrina.
Okay. Naturally. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then there was a Super Bowl that was at the same time as Mardi Gras, and so they kind of kept the parade away, or they tried to have some crowd control going on, so they kept the parade away, and nobody could march on the 3rd, February 3rd.
It's so bizarre. I don't understand all of the laws about, like, public celebrations. But can you imagine, like, a bunch of people, like, I don't know, 600-700 people are ready. Like, no.
Yeah.
Don't march. It's like, we're too late. Even if we turn around and go back home, still technically marching.
Yeah, and for the Super Bowl, I'm sorry, people, but the Super Bowl isn't as big a, like,
I don't think so. I'm more apt to celebrate. I mean, I think you could probably get the two together.
Yeah.
I guess you could make your own halftime show.
Yeah.
Like, that would be me. I did not participate in the Super Bowl. I think if I had the chance to, I wouldn't. But Mardi Gras, if I were nearby, I would do it.
Right.
We just don't really do it here because it's too cold.
It's too cold to run around with our shirts up.
Yeah.
Drinking rum drinks. I think there's a thing called the king cake. I don't think we talked about the king cake.
The king cake I know about, is it that there are prizes inside the cake?
Yeah, it's a cake made with dough laced with cinnamon. It's glazed with purple.
Laced.
I know, right? Yes. Sounds like
Laced with cinnamon, okay.
It's glazed with purple, green, and gold sugar.
Ew.
Covered in icing, so it sounds nice and sweet and donut-y. However, why it's called the king cake is because it was a small plastic baby hidden inside.
Oh, really?
It's not just a toy. It's a baby.
Why is the... Oh, so Christ, I guess, is it representing? That's weird.
Yeah. Whoever finds the baby in his or her slice must buy the next cake or perhaps host the next party.
Chew carefully. How big is this baby?
I don't know. I don't know how big the cake is. So I guess
it's
proportionate.
A full-size baby. Like to term.
So you're cutting slices for people and somebody gets this slice that's like a foot and a half.
I'll just mold the cake around the form of the baby. That'll be my cake. I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, it's...
Are you going to talk about the cruise? Because I have something about the cruise.
No, you talk about the cruise.
Okay. So the cruise is K-R-E-W-E. And they're groups of people who put together the parades for Mardi Gras. And traditionally, they were ethnically based or community based.
And they were all, well, actually, they were supposed to be all men.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then they switched. They became, like, ethnically based. And then there's a female cruise.
Oh, there are mixed crews as well.
Yes.
So I found a crew that is pretty interesting. It's a brand new crew called the Intergalactic Crew of Chewbacca's.
Yes.
They're actually a 501c3. Chewbacca's, they have their own parade, and they celebrate the Wookiee and the Roman god of wine and revelry. That's Chewbacca's, like Bacchus, the god of carnal delights.
Nice. I like that a lot. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, so the Intergalactic Crew, they throw their annual parade on February 7th. It rolls at 6 o'clock. And this year, the theme, it's always science fiction and fantasy. It's kind of like a moving Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This year, the theme was the Cult of the Sacred Drunken Wookiee. And the parade is going to have an 11-foot-tall Wookiee effigy surrounded by a group of dancing devotees and over 50 sub-crews rolling with satirical things and costumes. So they're kind of mocking a religious celebration. The Pope was Andy Richter. And he'll be filming, for the Conan O'Brien show. In addition to that, they're having St. Peter Mayhew, the mighty Chewbacca himself.
Oh, really? The actual actor that played Chewbacca in the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
He's playing Chewbacca, the incarnation of the Wookiee on Earth, Emperor of Life, and the Pope of Popes will roll up. And they also have, I think his wife or his daughter, I don't know which one she is. Angie Mayhew is going to be Our Lady of Space Grace. And it's basically, this is a crew that anyone can join if you have $42.
Well,
Do you have 40 shows? I most definitely do. If I were going to go do this, I like the idea of Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Mardi Gras. This is killing two birds with one stone.
So you would just...
Plus, who doesn't like Chewbacca?
Nobody.
Can you do a Chewbacca? I can't do it.
I could.
Work on it. Not bad.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was a nice soft-spoken. Yes. Relaxed Chewbacca.
I can do it when I'm a flemme fatale.
Oh, yeah.
Not today. So that's my crew news.
That's great.
All right, what else do you have about Mardi Gras?
Well, I was looking around for something about, something for Tales for the Campfire.
Okay.
Because New Orleans, awesome. Louisiana, they're chock-a-block with ghosts and voodoo and all of that. And there is a thing called the Blessing of the Mardi Gras.
Okay. Should I open
no,
this segment?
No, this is actually...
Nope. A pre-segment.
The thing is, no, I
you couldn't find anything?
There's a ton of ghost stories, but I was reading and I was like, you know what? It's all getting too real for me.
Shit got real. That King Biggie baby cake came alive.
That would be
a good tale from the campfire. About a king baby.
The king baby comes alive in the cake?
Yes. In your mouth. Who cares? Wherever.
In your stomach?
In your stomach.
Well, you're not supposed
to
swallow.
You're pregnant. Boom.
Oh, with the king baby.
If you didn't gather around, it's not too late.
Yeah.
You can get it on post.
But there were stories, but I was like, you know what? This is...
It was creepy.
It was like people... You know, with their religion, and then they kind of take a lot of action.
I'm not sure what that means.
People are like, "Hey, I need to. I'm so mad at so and so. I want to put it."
Oh, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so there are people. So whoever the voodoo priestess is, like, you really want to do it? I'll do it. Whatever curse.
It's going to cost you.
It's going to cost you. You're not going to like the result.
And I'm not going to tell you what it's going to cost you until after I've done it.
Yeah,
because that's how it works. Right. When I was growing up, even though I'm not from technically it is the South, we had voodoo. We had a couple of people who practiced voodoo or mm-hmm. was said to practice voodoo. And basically they were like, just stay out of their yard.
Yeah.
Stay out of their yard. Don't take any food from them. Definitely do not take a pie, kids. Do not take a pie from this old lady.
Why? Because what's in a pie?
Whatever.
Okay.
We don't know.
All right, don't eat anything.
Yeah, don't eat anything from them. Stay out of their yard. Don't cross them. Don't give them the eye for too long. Like, there were definitely a couple people who, and it wasn't other kids telling us this. It was like older adults. So their contemporaries were saying, like, stay away from Edna's place.
And you guys didn't think it was, like, funny.
We're like, hee-hee. And they were like, no, don't eat the food.
And then something about the tone of their voice, you were like, I'm going to listen.
Yeah. One of my cousins who was bold went and got milk from her one time anyway. And even though it was, like, a little tiny kid's carton,
mm-hmm.
I remember another cousin of mine grabbing it from him, like, throwing it to the ground and being like, didn't you hear what they said?
Don't
take it.
Don't drink the milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. But the thing is, so, I was just... against a little bit of a Tales from the Campfire voodoo style. But there is a blessing for the Mardi Gras. It's a unique ritual generally held around midnight of the Monday prior to Fat Tuesday in New Orleans.
Okay. We're not organized enough to celebrate this. We'd be on Thursday like, look, can we still do this thing around 3 on Thursday? Can you guys make it?
it's performed separately. There's drumming, colorful clothing.
I did not know this.
Yeah. And there are the Gide.
I don't know.
I'm
sure we'll hear from them.
Who is he? Oh my God, the Papa Gide is the corpse of the first man who ever lived.
Wow.
And that's who it's in honor of.
Okay.
And they're called up. And the mambo can call up whoever she wants. And the mambo is the head priestess.
Huh. And so what happens?
So basically...
I mean, presumably this guy has not come back yet. Let's hope.
No, it's just asking for a blessing. And the ritual is bless the party, direct that a good time be had by all. The offerings mm-hmm. include a mix of delicacies, including gumbo, red beans, and rice.
Okay.
And the king cake.
Okay.
And often necklaces of the little king cake babies are made throughout the previous year to be offered at the time of the festival.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people still do this. I mean, even though I'm excited and I like the idea of the Chewbaccas, I wonder if these kind of traditions are mm-hmm. kind of going to get swept away by more pop cultural centered type of traditions and then the tits and the beads.
Yeah, it's probably going to be,
you know.
That's what it's all.
Because that sounds pretty cool. Like that sounds like it's a midnight thing. You get together. There's probably food, drinking. You said there's drumming, so there's a little bit of entertainment going on, and then they do this kind of ritual thing.
And I thought a mambo was a dance.
It can be.
It can be too.
But a mamba is also high priestess. A female high priestess. Yeah. In voodoo?
Yeah, in Haitian voodoo.
Interesting. Well, mm-hmm. I like it. So, do you have any more stuff, or should we go into Presidents?
Let's go to Presidents.
Okay. So, as we mentioned earlier, not only is it Mardi Gras, also Presidents Day is coming up. And I found some interesting things here. It's 10 strange things. Actually, I'm not going to do 10 strange things, but a couple strange things that our presidents have done.
Okay.
So, we reported on last Presidents Day that Jimmy Carter was apparently menaced by a rabbit at some point.
Right. Which we denied. Talk about that. Yes.
Then we found some evidence. But it also says here that he saw a UFO at one point.
What?
So it was 1969, which is when everything weird happens.
Right.
2 years before he became governor, Carter was scheduled to give a speech at the Lions Club in Leary, Georgia. And around 7:15, someone in his party spotted what they thought was a strange object in the sky.
Okay.
It appeared to be a green light and it disappeared after a few minutes. Now, nowadays that doesn't seem so sketchy, but maybe in 1969... Light. So even though Carter claims it was not a UFO, he did report it to the International UFO Bureau, Tootsweet, in Oklahoma City. And then that was kind of the end of it. So he actually made a report that he thinks he saw a UFO. It's kind of weird.
That is weird.
And he put his name to it. I wouldn't. I would have been anonymous.
And then later on when he was president, he must have been, this was in 69 that he
this
saw it, right?
In
he
69.
Was the governor.
Yeah.
Okay. So later on, he's president. I bet you the first thing he went to was the area, I was going to say Studio 54.
He went dancing right away.
Was it Area 53?
Area 51.
51.
Area 51. I would.
I bet you went right to the files and said, show me everything.
But
I saw a green light.
When you become president, and probably have to Obama, Bush 1, Bush 2, mm-hmm. like, you know, Clinton, all of these people, they probably get there and the first thing they say is like, welcome, you cannot go to Area 51. You cannot ask about it. You cannot pretend to know, like, know anything about it. We cannot take you there. Forget about it.
Yeah.
How about get to work? How about, even in term two, Obama's probably like, and now can I see it? No.
I would say, if I'm the president, I need to see Area 51. And then they would be like, no, this is like, and then you find out there's some other law that the other presidents put into effect that you can't go
that
see.
That you can't go see. I think I would like the idea if they were like, you know what, then go. Good luck.
You're on your own.
I bet you if Obama showed up without Secret Service, they'd be like, there's just some black dude out there trying to get in. Like, just tell him no. He's talking about he's Obama. Yeah, I'm Obama too, buddy. This is real cool.
I'm Obama. No,
we're all Obama.
Yeah.
So I have another one here. It's talking about John Quincy Adams.
Oh,
everybody
okay.
loves him.
Sure.
He ran against war hero Andrew Bloody Jackson. And apparently...
Bloody Jackson?
Yeah. His reign... He had a reign of terror going on. Apparently, Jackson was known for being an asshole. As
right.
well as being bloody.
Right.
He participated in duels. He was having everybody executed.
You know,
he was not about Native Americans.
If you're a president, it's not like you're exactly the nicest person ever.
He was also, apparently, before he was president, an ignorant, bloodletting piece of shit. Okay. Who married a woman that may or may not have been his cousin, who may or may not already have been married.
Oh.
So there's
okay.
a lot of things
So nothing's stopping him.
Yeah. So while he was running, Jackson tried to say a lot of negative things about Quincy Adams, including... making accusations that he was a pimp.
Oh,
and that he
are
had
you kidding?
Offered a chambermaid to a visiting czar from Russia. He's just trying to help a brother out.
Hey, look, hey, sweetheart, come here.
Yes.
Put down that mop.
That he was unfortunately, Jackson won because apparently Quincy Adams wasn't, able to return the comments. But John Adams' father, who was much looser with the insults when he ran against Thomas Jefferson, said, and this isn't awful, he said that Thomas Jefferson was a mean-spirited, low-lived fellow, son of a half-breed Indian squaw, sired by a Virginia mulatto father. So this guy's not even white.
So
God. What could be worse?
How about the weak and bigots?
Yes. Like he covered everything right there. He left out the Irish. That was pretty much it. I was wanting to bring
up... The Polacks.
Right. I wanted to bring up that Abraham Lincoln once ran a bar. He opened up a bar with his buddy.
See, it's not so bad.
Yeah, in 1833, he and his friend William F. Barry opened up a little shop called Barry and Lincoln.
Barry and Lincoln?
Barry and Lincoln in New Salem, Illinois. And they weren't making a lot of money, so they were like, hey, let's start selling booze. So they got a liquor license there, started selling beer, cider, whiskey, brandy, and other assorted drinks.
Can you see him just, like, wiping the bar yes. with his, like, dirty rag?
Evening, ma'am.
Yeah.
Evening, sir. What do you have?
And then he goes into some monologue, but just the movie.
He never shut up.
Yeah.
He's a four score. No.
No.
Just a whiskey. Apparently, the place failed because Barry was an alcoholic.
Oh!
And summarily drank the profits.
Oh.
And they had to close down. Abraham Lincoln had a lot of different businesses.
Now what am I going to do, says Lincoln.
Yeah, at one point he was lending money as well. He was like a payday loan guy.
Really?
Hey, man. Brother's got to do what the brother's got to do. So those are... Oh, I have one more thing. Harry Truman mm-hmm. apparently was not down with the KKK, and they weren't down with him. They invited him to one of their meetings, and he was like, eh, I don't know. Then they tried to recruit... they tried to recruit him, and they offered to pay the $10 fee, and he was like, I don't think so. I'm not down with that. Then they threatened to kill him. So then he went to a meeting and
my
said,
offer is this nothing.
Yeah, he actually went to the meeting and said, bring it.
Really?
And they did nothing.
Wow.
So in your face.
In your face.
From Harry Truman. It's Harry Truman met with the KKK. He's probably not the only one, but he might be one of the only ones to admit it and to not, you know, join up.
Oh my God.
So, interesting presidential facts. What do you have?
Yeah, I have said a weird presidential fact.
Okay. Oh, mine were interesting. Weird. Yours are weird. Is penis news in there?
Right. let's see. We talked to pets. You know, most presidents have a cat or a dog.
Do the Obamas have a dog? I haven't heard much about it.
What is it called?
I have no idea. Do they have one?
Do they have a cat? No, Sox is somebody, is the other one.
I hope the next president has a ferret. Just something
why
strange.
Ferret?
Because, I don't know. Dogs are out. Okay.
Quincy Adams and Herbert Hoover had pet alligators.
That's
Calvin
weird.
Coolidge had two lions.
I hope he strolled with them with like a big floppy hat and a long coat, like on a leash. Like, who's going to mess with that? You want to have a debate about taxes? Come on.
He also had a wallaby and a pygmy hippopotamus.
Why?
Because he liked them.
Oh, yeah. Were these things in the White House? We don't know.
Theodore Roosevelt kept a badger called Hosea who used to bite people.
Why? And see, now we think that Obama is weird if he wears a tan suit.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy had some kind of rabid animal at the ready. He's nuts anyway.
Here's some the sucky presidential nicknames.
Okay.
Andrew Jackson was known as Old Hickory.
Oh, God.
Grant was known as Unconditional Surrender Grant.
Oh.
Come on.
That's bad.
His face.
Here comes Grant. You mean Unconditional Surrender Grant? That's not even a quick nickname.
Yeah. Let's see. William Henry Harrison was Tippecanoe.
Okay.
And then Zachary Taylor, actually, he liked this one, was Old Rough and Ready.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who gave him that name?
Yes. And then James Garfield had a party trick where he would simultaneously write in Latin with one hand
mm-hmm.
and ancient Greek in the other.
Wow, I didn't know that. I did. I was forced to do a report on him because he was the only one left in fourth grade. And plus he was mm-hmm. assassinated. So I was like, all right, that's something. Like that's, you know, you're in fourth grade, you have to pick the president.
Right.
They decided, because, you know, my original last name begins with a B, but it was one of those days where like, we'll start at the end of the alphabet.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, man.
No.
Why? James A. Garfield.
I know. That's what we did. That I think in second grade we had a right to. We each had to pick a state and then write to the capital, you know, whatever, and get information.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember doing that. What did you get?
Was it Ohio?
Oh man,
the Buckeye State,
and not even that far from New Jersey, so it's not like it's exotic or anything.
And you know what? Second grade, I'm reading off facts to them, and the class would clap.
Yes.
Because there was nothing.
You're like the state flower.
Yeah, that's exactly.
State bird.
Exactly.
Major cities include.
Yeah. Their exports.
Yeah. They're like, oh, Casimir's really killing it today. This is fascinating. With everybody wanted Hawaii and California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Alaska, things like
and
that.
And New York.
New York, fun states. Florida.
Yeah. William Howard Taft was also the heaviest president. He was so large, he occasionally got stuck in the White House bath.
Are you kidding me? That sounds like a setup for a joke. How large was he? Who had to get him out?
The aides. They had to get a couple of aides. And then they got a bigger bathtub.
Don't get in. Like, how many times did he, was he like, you know what, yesterday I was too big for
how
this.
How can you get stuck? Because, you can push yourself, if you're stuck, you can just, if you're filling up a tub, you can just hoist yourself out.
Maybe he sat in at first and they just filled in around him a little bit of water where they could and the suction took care of it. Who knows? Who knows?
Do you know, since 1900, nobody under the height of 5'9 has ever won a presidential election?
Really?
So, if they were saying they were 5'10, they're really 5'8, and they're still not winning. Because you know how we feel about height.
Yeah. I saw a picture of Obama sitting with someone today. He's quite tall.
Yeah.
He's a basketball player.
Yeah. That's kind of this is
the gist of it. Yeah. I have a little bit more here. I just want to follow up on some fascinating facts. So, the most hated president is Nixon.
Yes. Yeah.
People hate Nixon. And I started to do a little research on him. And then it's hard to find an unbiased opinion.
Right.
But overall, he was just known as being, his nickname was Tricky Dick, but he was definitely, whether you like his politics, the left or right or whatever, he was a dick, apparently. He was really just an unpleasant person. But he was also a great bowler. And he is the one who had a bowling alley put into the White House.
So that he did? Bowl. Yeah. Okay.
Apparently, he bowled a 232. Which is really impressive. It's a rare occasion if I break three digits.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And then that's not good. He also loved football and could tell you anything about the game of football. A weird fact about him is that he pursued his wife for 2 years when they lived out on the West
Coast.
Wore her
down. Yes. So she was exhausted.
Listen to this. He used to drive her into Los Angeles, into the city. They were outside of Los Angeles. He would drive her into the city, and she would have dates with other guys.
Oh!
And he would offer to pick her up afterwards. He did this for 2 years, and eventually, I guess she was like, well, all right, nothing else panned out.
Are you kidding?
That's pursuit. I don't think people do that anymore.
No.
I think nowadays a guy would consider that to be a serious loss of face.
Yeah.
You know? Apparently, she was something else.
He was like, I got my eye on you, Pat.
Yeah, you're not getting out of here. Apparently, he was an amazing poker player, and despite the fact that he was a Quaker, which is actually the shocking part, is that he was a Quaker.
Yes.
I've never met an asshole Quaker in my life. And they're forbidden to gamble, but he used to bet $6,000, $7,000 on a hand at a time playing poker. And this is back in the day.
Wow.
Also, in the late 70s, he lived next door to one of his greatest enemies, a friend of John F. Kennedy, Arthur Schlesinger. They were next door neighbors. Wait, and their kids. Does it say the town?
Is it in New Jersey?
No, it's in New York.
Okay.
They lived next to each other and they shared like a garden wall. And Schlesinger used to take his kid over to Nixon's on Halloween and he would wear a Nixon mask. Imagine that.
I'm you.
You open the door. And you know those presidential masks? They're not flattering.
They're not flattering. They're bank robberies.
Yeah.
I laugh at that also because when there was a point where Richard Nixon wanted to move to New Jersey
Was New Jersey like, look, we have enough problems.
To Bergen County. And at that time, it was years ago, and my grandmother was a realtor.
Okay.
And so she heard that he was, and so she wrote him a letter, like, I can help you find a house. And
one nice letter.
Yeah, right. She let us see the letter. She was like, "Dear Mr. President," and we all laughed. We were kids, and we didn't understand that you still addressed presidents as, you know, even when they're not in office, as Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. If I see
he's
Bush,
not the president,
I'm gonna call him G Dog. What's up, W? That's weird. So you still get called president even after you're not president?
Yeah, you're always
President Obama.
Yeah, it's always
That's interesting. So those are some Nixon facts. Yeah. Nixon. I didn't know anything about Nixon growing up except that he was a terrible person. I think my mother didn't teach me much about politics, but that I knew.
You knew that.
You knew
too. I knew it too. Yeah, he was, because he was the first president that really showed the world that you can be a douche.
Yes. And
hold office.
And that you would tape your doucheness.
Yeah.
And those really tapes released or stolen. After.
Because we all believed, and generations before that believed, that the president was such a noble office and the people, the person that held that position was of upright character.
Yeah, I don't know why we thought that, because if you start researching the presidents, you'll find some shady characters up in there.
Right, because they didn't have the internet.
Yeah. I think Obama's been pretty non-shady. He's got a nice-looking family. He's a decent-looking guy. He's very smart. He hasn't done anything weird yet.
No.
Personal
stuff. Right. We haven't found out anything yet.
I know what. I want to find out something weird about Obama. Like, he's really into, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Go-Go's or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's really just jamming and we got the beat.
Yeah. At the end of every day. He had a crush on Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not right.
That's not weird. That's normal.
Neither is the Go-Go's. I mean, something like strange. You know, like he only wears like thong sandals or something.
Oh.
When he's like.
We got to know, President Obama. Give us your secrets.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, looking at the other, the worst presidents ever was like Ronald Reagan, Andrew Jackson, James Buchanan, James Polk. And it's like.
James K. Polk?
Satan, so. Yeah. All about slavery and genocide. It's just like.
Oh, that's the president, though, back in the day.
Genocide. Native American genocide. Genocide against the five tribes. Genocide. It's like. Jackson. Whoa, wiping out.
Yeah.
Entire groups of. Millard Fillmore, again,
your
genocide.
Bud. Yeah. Oh, I thought you liked Millard Fillmore.
Well, I liked him because they had Millard Fillmore Junior High on,
oh, that's
on
right.
the Brady Bunch.
Okay. Little did they know.
They had no idea. Genocide.
I wonder if they're going to be naming stuff after Obama. I guess they will. And they name stuff after a Bush. I mean, there's a Bush library.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, he's the 11th worst president, Bush.
Wow. The Bush 1 or Bush 2?
Two.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's only 12, the 12 worst.
The 12.
He's number 11.
The top 12.
But
most offensive.
Dishonorable mentions. Goes to Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, for just like wackiness?
Yeah, invasion of multiple Latin American nations.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think Obama's invaded a couple people too.
Yeah.
But
well,
what can I say?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Best president, of course, Abraham Lincoln. Who doesn't like Abraham Lincoln?
Most fashionable president also.
Is he?
I think so. I think he's the most recognizable president. I think people can recognize him anywhere all over the world.
Do you think he looked better in person or was he more photogenic?
I mean, I've never seen any images of him that aren't just fucking frightening. There's something about his face that's, I think it's the seriousness of it.
And the angles of his cheekbones.
Yeah.
Something about that. Martin Van Buren is one of the best.
Okay. What did he do?
He delayed genocide.
Okay. Until the next president came on. Yeah. That's one reason I wouldn't want to be president. If I got to go around committing genocide, no thanks. You know, not interested.
Jimmy Carter is one of the best presidents.
Okay.
And my mother's friend had met him and talked to him and was like, he's amazing.
But she was like, in 5 minutes, he said three sentences.
No, but he said he was one of the most brilliant people ever.
Really? And then he was, you know, they call him, he was a peanut farmer, but he was also quite a powerful peace activist.
Yes.
After he was finished with the president. And he did not commit genocide, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So
no, he was no.
Chalk
not at
one
all.
Up for him.
Ulysses S. Grant was one of the better ones. He ended the KKK violence in Georgia and South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just called his buds up. Stop it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of faith in politics.
Yeah, I know. That's God. And then Barack Obama's on the list as one of the goodies, too.
Oh, really? Because he's new.
Yeah.
I mean, what did they say? Why is he on the good list?
He's on
it
the
cuts a fine figure.
Even in a tan suit.
Yeah.
Ending chemical warfare in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Partially responsible for ending the second Iraq war and Afghanistan war.
Nothing about drones?
No. Well, no, they did. They say, well, it's not so great. You know, this is why mass deaths by drone assassination.
Yeah, drone bomber, not a good thing.
Right.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, I don't always send out drones against unarmed citizens, but when I do, I make sure I'm wearing my Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh,
I was like, oh snap.
Wow.
How I wouldn't like to see something like that about myself. I don't have any feelings about him one way or the other, but, you know, he's a human being, and he's got
to
see those memes.
He has to.
He's got to see them and be like, yo, I did do that. I wasn't wearing my medal, though. Typically don't wear it on a Tuesday. I don't know. Like, he can't feel that fantastic about it. I'm excited to see when he's not the president anymore, what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because he's young.
It's going to go on
Wait a
speech.
Minute. He was young when he started. Now he's looking kind of old.
Well, he just needs to rejuvenate a little. Go to some spas.
Spa.
Get a whole, like some dermabrasion.
Get your pores sucked. Right. Take a week.
Relax. Hydrate.
Yeah.
He needs to drink more water.
He does look a little dry in there. Ashiness is not a virtue.
Yeah, so he'll be okay after a while. Then he'll probably do the speeches, get on the circuit.
I've noticed, though, that his wife looks suspiciously better, like, every year. Like, she started out looking good, and now she looks amazing. By the end, she's going to be like Iman. Right. Like, she already looks fantastic. She looks great. Somehow the presidency is working for her.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what she's going to do, too.
Yes.
When she finishes. Because she had a great career before.
Right, as
a lawyer. She put it on hold for this.
Right. Right, right, right. So, what do you have here?
I have, did President's Day car sales originate in Massachusetts? So, I never really thought about it that much, but there are a lot of sales around President's Day. There's, like, white sales, there's car sales.
Everything
I don't know why. Everything is on sale all the time.
And they're like, it's your duty. Is it because we're, because of capitalism, that we're, it's our duty to shop, it's our duty?
But it's, maybe it's like, 16% of people have a day off, mm-hmm. and they're like, maybe we can get them to come into our store.
Yeah, well, that too, but still, it's like you can't link shopping to every single holiday. It's not.
We do.
We do, yeah. But it's...
We do. I'm surprised that there weren't, like, Martin Luther King Day sales and things like that for the places that do celebrate it. So it says, thanks to auto commercials and jingles, President's Day weekend has become synonymous with car sales, deals, and specials, mm-hmm. and why. So it has to do with the late Alvin T. Fuller, who owned a variety of car dealerships on Commonwealth Avenue in the 20th century in Massachusetts. So apparently this guy he started out as a bicycle salesman. Mm-hmm. You know how they do mm-hmm. back in the day, in the 1800s. When he was a teenager, he was selling bikes, and he became a bike racer. He went to Europe, and then he bought two cars when he was there. And he was like, this is the future. I'm going to sell these cars. I've already purchased
really?
Two.
Okay.
So he comes back to Boston, and he decides that he's going to put up a car dealership. So
okay.
because he's one of the first people to do it, and it's that time, it's the early 1900s, everyone's like, peh, cars.
What is this? Like, are you kidding?
Who would want that smoky old thing?
Looking at them in a one giant area.
So he decided to set up his car dealership, and then eventually everybody did around him. So it was like one of the first like automobile miles. I don't know where it is in New Jersey, but we have like, it used to be Pulaski Highway in Maryland. Mm-hmm. It's all car dealerships as far as the eye can see. So it became a promotional trend, and that people didn't drive in the wintertime at that point. So, you know, by February, people were ready to go around and look at some new vehicles again. So he began in 1917, he began promotional day on George Washington's
birthday. A little time passed after the holidays, everyone could pay their bills and kind of like readjust.
And you know, we're Americans, so we need to start buying something. We haven't mm-hmm. bought anything for a little while. And he made it, he made the first like President's Day sale. And then based on that, everybody else kind of got into it.
What year was this again?
So this is in 1917.
Okay.
He began doing the first car sales on Washington's birthday. And it turned him into one of the richest men in America.
Wow.
And apparently it was like the party of the year. Like,
really?
So, and that,
so you really, you went, this is where
yeah, and if
go.
if you think about how car sales are portrayed now, there's always, and I never understood this, I've never bought a brand new car, I'm not a car person, but if you go buy a dealership, there's like balloons, there's streamers, everyone's like, it's like,
yeah, there's the wavy man.
Yeah.
It's
a party
through.
Atmosphere for buying something that the minute you drive it off, the lot starts to depreciate.
Because they're telling you how much you deserve it, a brand new car, and don't you finally get a brand new car instead of a used one.
I wish they would have the same celebration when I go to buy shoes. Now, that's a cause to celebrate in my mind.
Okay.
You know? Like, I want the noise, I want streamers, you know, maybe a little glass of champagne or something, balloons and everything. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
The car stuff. Because I don't buy cars often enough to experience the party atmosphere. But I think
some stores will offer you the champagne,
yeah. Yeah, and then you end up with three instead of one of the item that you were supposed to get in the first place.
I was in Bloomingdale's and they...
Did they suck you into some booze?
No, they had cake and they were giving out cake. And I was like, there was some runway fashion show and I, you know, watched for a little bit and went about my business. And I'm in the dressing room trying to decide.
Yeah. And someone comes in with some cake?
They knock on the door and they're like, would you like a piece of cake? And they handed me...
In the dressing room?
In the dressing room. So I'm sitting there eating cake in the dressing room. It's not great for sales. I'll tell you that much. As you're looking at yourself.
Did you find the king baby in it? Like, what the?
Right? Oh, no. I have to bake the cake next time in Bloomingdale's. No, but you're looking at yourself in a three-way mirror.
I don't want food in there. I want whatever the opposite of food is.
Yeah.
Like, don't give me a half a pound. Take a half a pound off.
Yeah.
Come in here with that. You want some spanks? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just throw those right
on. Had little donuts on top of it. Yeah, it was like...
That's weird. And yeah. I feel like in a clothing store, don't they not want you to have food in there?
Yeah. But that's what they did.
Did you end up buying anything?
I did, and I returned.
Oh. I was going to say it worked momentarily.
Right. It didn't make me feel good.
I don't... Yeah, that whole situation is sketchy.
No, I mean, I had to buy the clothes for the thing I was going to, so I wasn't getting out of there without buying something.
Yeah.
But the cake made me feel bad about myself.
Huh. So take note, retailers.
But no
cake in the dress. Yeah, but I... And it got a mention.
Yeah.
So I guess it worked.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
Just a few quotes from presidents.
From presidents past.
Yeah. Yeah. George W. Bush says, "Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we."
What?
Yes.
I was going to say he didn't write that until you put that last piece on, and neither do we. I always imagine him going, bada, 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 and that's all, folks.
All right.
And then he, you know, like, jumps through a train thing that he's painted on the wall.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Because that's what his whole...
And after, he probably said it with a straight face. He's the ultimate straight man.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't even know what's going on. He probably just said it and
moved
on.
And then I think he knows exactly what he's saying. And then he's like, look, I'm a buffoon, right?
I was always waiting for him to be like, where am I? Look, what else?
I have... Ronald Reagan said, "Well, I learned a lot. I went down to Latin America to find out from them and learn their views.
Huh?
You'd be surprised. They're all individual countries."
No.
Yeah, he
no.
did.
Out loud?
He said
that. Aren't
out
there
loud.
People to stop them from... See, this is why there's so many handlers now for presidents. Because whoever let that go probably was fired the next day.
Yeah, I remember when George W. Bush said this. "This is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
I know.
Terrible.
And you know what? It did. Mitt Romney kind of tried something like that, and it didn't go over so well. Because he didn't have the personality.
of George W. Bush.
Because I'm not a fan of Bush, but he seemed like the kind of guy you would kick a beer with if you were irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you were a D-bag.
Yeah.
You were a douchebag. You're a douchebag, irresponsible.
Douchebag, and it's like your 10th beer. It's like, yeah, that guy looks all right.
All right, and Richard Nixon was in an interview with David Frost in 1977, and he said, "When the president does it, that means it's not illegal." Like,
oh, wow. Then David Frost inside was like, yes, I've got it. This buffoon.
Thank you so much.
He must have known that anyone who wanted to interview him didn't like him, because no one liked him.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have him to kick around anymore.
Yeah. That's sad. Anyway, those are some neat things. I just, you know, I know we finished with Mardi Gras. We went through our presidents.
Mm-hmm. I'll probably cut it so that we haven't.
Okay. I just, you know, after Mardi Gras and after Fat Tuesday, you have to, Lent rolls up on you.
Wait a minute. Mardi Gras is Fat Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the Mardi Gras is supposed to go on for a while, 6 weeks.
Okay.
Fat Tuesday is
the one day.
The one last day.
Okay.
And then it goes into Lent.
Gotcha.
So Lent's there. And this is like 40 days of misery, as I was saying. So you're supposed to give up something for Lent. You're supposed to... So I found... I was like, what are you really supposed to do for Lent? 100 things to do for Lent.
Oh, God. Is this from an actual Christian, I hope?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is from an actual Christian. Is it okay? Do you realize how soon Ash Wednesday is? Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent.
Okay,
and that's where you go to the church, and there's just a priest with this cup.
Oh, they smudge you.
Yeah, they have ashes in it, and the ashes are the palms, dried out palms from the previous Easter
when you waved Jesus in. Then you did away with them, but you save the palms.
You save the palms,
yeah.
And they dry out, and then you
they
burn
smudge
them.
People,
and you priest each all. It was my favorite of all the Catholic things to do because there was no mass. There were no prayers.
Oh, I didn't know that. You just come in, get smudged, and you're out.
The guy's standing there, the priest, and you walk up to him, he smudges you, and you just leave.
It's a volume business.
Yeah. It's the best thing.
It's always fun for those of us, those heathens out there, who every Ash Wednesday, I'm like, what the? Oh, the first person I see, I'm always like about to motion to wipe it off, yeah. And then I remember what it is. It's Ash Wednesday.
They once said
you're not supposed to wipe it off, right?
Okay. You're not supposed to just. It's supposed to organically kind of dissipate into the air.
Yeah.
You know, there was a priest was standing outside the PATH train, which is the subway system that connects New Jersey.
Just smudging everybody.
Yeah, just if you wanted it, he was right there. So you're just on your commute. You don't even have to really stop. You pause. That's your forehead.
I mean, it's convenient, but in my mind, religion should be inconvenient. It seems like it should be really like you should go out of your way. You know what? If I see somebody at the A train, I'm getting smudged. I'm going to wipe it off and go around the corner and come back again.
Keep doing it. It keeps falling off.
Yeah. Instagram. Here I come. Okay. Make a flip book.
So Ash Wednesday's there. It's time to start praying on what you're going to do for Lent. Mm. I always love Lent. It's like Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. This is what this woman is writing. It's like Jesus boot camp. 6 weeks of hardcore praying and fasting.
You don't have to wait for Lent, lady, to do that. You can do that whenever you want.
Okay, so you probably know that there are three pillars of Lent. It's prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Okay. Ooh, I didn't know about the last one. People omit that one.
Yeah,
you're like, I prayed, I got the, you know, I fasted, but I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah, did you know you're supposed to do all three? You know that you can do more than one thing in each category?
Okay.
I'm exhausted.
You can't pick and choose.
So, you know,
hey, two out of three ain't bad.
So you know that giving up regular Coke and only drinking Coke Zero, Diet Coke, and caffeine-free Coke is totally lame-o, right?
Okay.
Speaking the language of the kids today. Yeah.
Oh, this is for young people. Okay.
Lent is not the time to go so hard that you die or make others wish they were dead because you're so cranky.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably like killing yourself during Lent is not a good thing.
Yeah.
From fasting.
Okay. It's time to discern what the Lord is calling you to and what he wants you to detach from. What sin he's calling up on you to abandon.
And I would just pause by saying that this is interesting to me because I have a lot of friends who are Christian, but I have very few friends who are Muslim. Their Ramadan fasting is for real. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've ever worked in an office with someone who's observing, you know, the Muslim faith during Ramadan, by 6:30 they're like, ugh. I got, but they do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know what, religiously, right?
But
they do it. I've never, the fasting for Christians for Lent, how does that work?
No, you're supposed to not eat meat on Fridays.
How is that a fast? In my mind, a fast is not eating
anything. No, it's not
anything. Right?
But this is, you gotta eat.
Okay. I'm just asking because maybe some people do. Some kind of, obviously you can't fast, you know, completely for 40 days, which is why the Ramadan thing makes sense.
Yeah, they don't teach you to do that. They teach you to really give up something. Give up something for Lent is the big thing. Then no meat on Fridays.
Okay.
And that's the big thing. Lent is the opportunity to root out some evil in our lives.
Okay.
Maybe it's time to give up one or a few of these sins up.
I'm thinking people. I'm like, Bill's got to go. Felicia's got to go.
Felicia, for sure.
Yeah. You've got to go first.
So here's some things that they suggest you can give up.
Okay.
Drunkenness.
Huh?
No.
I can't give that up.
Gossip. What?
What?
Pornography. Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm sorry, but what else is on there? Air? Is air the next one on there?
Complaining.
It's almost sorry. Like this is a nightmare.
Smoking. Mm-hmm. Masturbation.
Well, you're not supposed to be doing that anyway, people.
Yeah, that's right, because you grow hair on your palms.
Yeah. You go blind as well, so you can't even see what you're doing.
Calling your sister an alien. That's thrown out there.
Does that annoy sisters of today?
No. Negativity. I don't think that I could do that.
Yeah.
Being snarky or short or cold or whatever it is that you do that makes talking to you an act of charity.
Wow.
Yeah.
It got real. This woman's kind of a bee. Maybe give that up.
Laziness. Mm-hmm. Arguing, being picky. She was like, eat whatever's set before you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is like for people in her life.
Judging people.
Okay.
Comparing yourself with others. Anger, immodest clothing, impure books, television, movies, music.
Oh, because I should just stay in bed. Basically.
Lying or cursing, snacking, television, lunch, Facebook, makeup.
You said immodest clothing?
Yeah.
All of these things seem like, I don't want to use the word addiction because that's strong, but like a compulsion.
Yeah.
But like a thong is not a compulsion.
Right.
Like that's what I'm talking about, like giving up cleavage for Lent.
I can't give up cleavage.
I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Junk in the trunk, not having it for 40 days. I'm going to dress modestly for 40 days.
40 days.
And then what happens at the end? You go nuts. You're streaking through Lyndhurst.
You have your own burlesque show. And you have 40 days to plan your burlesque show.
Oh, yeah.
It's all in your mind.
See, now we've already defeated the whole thing. All right, so you're supposed to deprive yourself of something that you enjoy.
Yeah, so chocolate shopping, secular music, but the religious
good
music.
Luck.
Yeah, because they know the religious music is so intolerable.
But a lot of religious music sounds very much like secular music. I once lived with someone who was listening to what I thought was the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, no.
And it turned out to be praise music. So, fine. There's also a lot of rap. There's, like, religious rap, you know, religious rock. There's all kinds of religious music that's still, you know, current.
Yeah.
They say it's secular. Although every once in a while they find out that those bands are like, look, we just wanted to get signed.
Yeah, exactly.
Chicks still look good in this religion.
And they still, and guess what, the Catholic ones.
Yes, they still put out.
They put out. let's see, give up
especially
coffee.
Especially during Lent.
Yeah, coffee. Cream or sugar in your coffee. Social media. Sarcasm.
Why cream or sugar? It sounds like sarcasm? Mm,
yeah.
I can't be in this religion, I'm sorry.
Yeah, scratching. Just scratching. It's like, why can't you want to suffer?
It's sniffing on there as well.
Give up your pillow. Give up hot showers. Hot food. Salting your food.
Wow.
This is like kind of...
I think she just sat down and was like, what are all the things I enjoy?
Yeah.
And I'm going to put them on my list.
Give up YouTube. Alcohol, kissing, and gum.
I noticed racism and homophobia not on that list. Those left off the list.
Yeah, and don't drive when you can walk.
I'm in a building right now that has 18 floors, and there are signs everywhere that say, take the stairs. I'm like, you fucking take the stairs. I can go to the 16th floor. So then the other day I decided, you know, I'm going to take the stairs. You know what happened? I went out into the stairwell. Guess who couldn't get back in?
Oh.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah,
man.
I learned my lesson.
That's the thing.
Take the elevator.
Why did they have that?
I don't know. And there's signs everywhere. It's a picture of the little... And I wish they would change this because it's now 2015. You know, it's the sign person. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. A little floating head above a body.
Yeah.
And it's like one leg up going up the stairs. Because I don't know how to do that. The fact that you said, please walk up the stairs. I need the picture of the guy lifting his leg up to do it. Where's the picture of the guy who's fucking locked in the stairwell like an asshole? Where's that picture?
It's that little image, that little body is sitting on a step with a head in the hand.
Yeah, it should be that image sitting on the step with a head in the hand, and it has an afro on the head, because that was me. And if I saw that sign, I would know, don't have an afro and get stuck in the stairwell.
And then if you're knocking on the door, then there's an image of me on the other side, like, should I open it?
That's the other thing I thought.
If I
start banging on the door.
I'm scared.
On the other side, it clearly says, like, not an exit.
Yeah, it says don't open, an alarm
don't
will
open.
Sound.
Yeah.
And then it's like, who's this person?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, someone who's trapped in the stairwell, supposedly.
I don't know. I'm scared.
Yes.
Gather around, everybody, because I don't even know what's coming out of this door.
So I'm going to say, do not walk. Take the elevator if you can. Don't get trapped in the stairwell.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
These don't seem particularly religious to me.
How about this? Pick a saint.
Okay, there you go.
To be like and do it.
How?
Pick a saint. You read their story. Mm-hmm. And if you like their story, then do what the saint did.
Most of them just died horrible deaths.
They got...
Because of what they did.
Ripped apart.
Yes. Flayed.
Then drawn and quartered.
Yeah, no thanks.
Stoned.
Yeah.
Drowned.
No. Are there any that just died peacefully?
No.
Like in a nice facility somewhere in the hills? There's that saint convalescence. Just went in their sleep.